Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
A very good morning to you. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 Chai FM. Joining me in studio, and actually this is a pre-record, so joining me in a studio is the winner of the Jewish Achievers Award for Sports, for Excellence in Sports, Dean Furman. A very warm welcome to Chai FM.
Thank you very much. A pleasure to be here this morning.
So it's an incredible thing, first of all, that we actually had a Jewish sports to award, because I see that it's lumped with science and art and sport. I think we're covering our bases.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's a rarity to find Jewish sportsmen. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm a big follower of tennis, and Diego Schwartzman is
right,
doing brilliantly
on the
men's tennis circuit at the mm-hmm. moment, but there's few and far between. I grew up in England. I think at the moment in the leagues there's probably two Jewish players. If we're talking British Jewish players, one's actually my best friend.
Amazing.
The other player actually also plays in the same team as him. So, unfortunately, Jewish sportsmen are few and far between, which is a shame, because there's certainly talent out there. But it seems like, young Jewish boys and girls tend to go in different directions. But, I hope that I can show youngsters out there that there is a future in sport. If that is your dream, it is possible, it is doable. And you've got to just be dedicated and really, give it absolutely everything, and it is possible. I hope that's what I am trying to show all the young boys.
Yeah, well, gathering, if we take into account the number of kids that suddenly descended on studio, knowing that you were here, certainly you are an inspiration, you are an icon. I want to talk a little bit later about the issues of anti-Semitism within British sport and specifically soccer, where we are coming across that. But what I wanted to really is take us through your journey to this point.
So I was born in Cape Town, in Camps Bay. My first memories of football were when my dad used to take me down to Camps Bay Football Club, which is quite nice. Amazing. Obviously, with all the development down in that part of the country, those pitches still remain down on the beach there. So it's always nice to go back down there and still see that. And those are my first real memories of my first footballing steps. Unfortunately, I was too young to join the team, so me and my dad just used to imitate the team on the touchline. I've got some beautiful pictures in the Camps Bay kit, and that was really my first memories of football. We moved to the UK when I was five. Between the ages of 5 to 9, I was playing for my local team, which was really a team of Jewish boys, mm-hmm. and I'm in touch with many of them still today. No different to what the guys are doing here, playing in their local team. At the age of 9, I was scouted. We were just playing in a game, and a Chelsea scout was down at the game, and he saw me and another one of my best friends, and offered us a trial at Chelsea. So we had a 6-week trial, which is incredible that they're picking up kids at the age of 9. I think these days it's even younger.
Wow.
We had a 6-week trial, and at the end of my 6 weeks, they offered me a contract. Unfortunately for my friend, there was no contract for him.
Wow. That's actually quite a hard reality at the age of 9.
It's tough.
You're a kid. You're young.
It's very tough. How do you deal with it? How do you have your friendship? He is still to this day one of my very, very best friends. Mm. He was an usher at my wedding. And how do you deal with that as young guys, that one gets selected and one doesn't? Unfortunately, that was the first taste of the football industry for us. From there, I grew up in the age groups. I carried on until at 16. I went full time. I got offered to go full time. So you kind of leave school at that age, and you become a full time footballer. You are 16 year old and you.
Did you love it? You know, when you read a book like Andre Agassi's autobiography, it's so conflicted, because here he's achieved excellence, but doesn't actually seem to like whether it's authentic or not. And I do get the fair sense that book is authentic, but the conflict is very, very interesting. Here you are at the age of 9, you're obviously excelling at something, so therefore you do like it, because we all like things we excel at. But do you ever stop to say, well, actually, do I like this?
I've always loved it. I've been lucky enough in that. I've read Agassi's book as well, because I grew up playing a lot of tennis.
Right.
And I do get that how difficult tennis is because it's a solo sport. And one of my decisions progress in my career, one of the reasons choosing football over tennis were the team aspect. I love the team aspect. I love going into training every day, seeing the lads. You come in on a Monday morning. You hear.
So for you, it was also very much a social thing. And I can hear just how you talk about your friends and how you talk that you're drawn to people. You're a people
very much,
person.
Very yeah. much. I mean, you come in on Monday morning and you hear the stories of what the guys got up to on their night, on their weekend, and the dressing room camaraderie and the stuff that goes on behind the scenes. It's a very, very special place, a football dressing room. Right. And the amazing thing for me is that I've experienced it now in two completely different countries two completely different cultures. So for me, I enjoy training. I've played with many footballers who don't enjoy training. They hate it. So I love training. I'm always kicking the ball. I'm always, having fun kind of when it's time to have fun. And that's what football has allowed me to do. It's allowed me to really, live my dream. It is absolutely my dream. Yes, there's tough times. There's times where I scratch my head and think, you go through you go through injuries where times are really tough. You go through spells where you're not playing well, spells where you're on the bench. Social media can really come at you.
I couldn't imagine. Do you follow social media? I mean, do you actually read what is written?
If it's wrote directly to me, it's hard not to read it. And the amazing world that we live in this day and age, it's very
everybody
easy.
Has access to you.
Everybody has access. Everybody has an opinion. When you sit behind a keyboard, it's very easy to express that opinion, whether it's positive or negative. And you have to remain pretty level-headed that you don't all of a sudden think you're the best player in the world after a victory.
I'm sure people will remind you of that.
They remind you more that you're the worst player in the world after a defeat.
Point.
So it's very important to try and stay level-headed, to have the right people around you. And for me, the most important people are in terms of my football career are the people closest to me in terms of my coaches and my players. And if I'm performing in their eyes, I'm doing well in their eyes. That's what's key. Unfortunately, the world of social media is a tricky place. But it's something that comes hand in hand with being in the public eye. You've got to be able to deal with the highs and lows. And that's certainly something that I've done throughout my career.
I'm Howard Feldman. This is Your Morning Mayhem 101.9 Chai FM. Joining me in studio is Dean Furman, and we're taking a look at his remarkable career and, of course, the fact that he was honored by the Jewish Achiever Awards on Sunday night for excellence in his field. The difference in experience between playing in the United Kingdom and playing in South Africa, it must be quite stark.
It is very different. I think the game itself is different. I think the game in England is a lot more physical. There's a lot more contact. It's far more direct in terms of the way the style of play. Over here, it's more about flair. It's more about skill. It's more about speed. Mm. It's more about kind of combination play. So for me, it was difficult to begin with coming over here because I had to completely adapt my game, to a whole new way of football. So it's very, very different. The dressing rooms are different. There's not so much singing and dancing in England, but over here, that's what we do. And it's amazing.
Have you got into that?
I love it. Absolutely love it. Whether I'm saying the right words or whether my dancing.
Well, I don't think it matters. I think it matters just that you're part of it.
I try and join in as best I can because that is something that
that's
I think
incredible.
In 20, 30 years time, I will look back on with such fond memories. Those are things.
I mean, and how do people in your friends back in the UK relate to that?
They absolutely love it. I send them videos of us in the dressing room.
That's awesome.
Absolutely love it because it is a very different dressing room. So when they see us doing those things, it's something that they've never seen before. So the guys I play with back home, they love seeing those videos. They can't get enough of it.
And of course the love and the hate that is showered on the team on a constant basis. It's like we're schizophrenic as South Africans.
I wouldn't just say South Africans. I would just say football fans in general. We do live in a society that is, that us are very quick to judge. And they want results, they expect results, they expect high performance, but we're not robots. We can't perform every week. people don't see what goes on behind the scenes. Maybe you're not 100% fit, or maybe something's gone wrong at home, and all these things can affect your performance on a match day. So it's not always as simple as go out there on the match day and perform as well as possible. And you should perform unbelievably every time. We're athletes. We aren't robots. We can't perform the same every time.
Are you trained psychologically? I mean, are you trained to deal with some of the either the negativity or the self awareness to understand what that something that's gone on at home could affect me on the field? Are you given that support?
Unfortunately, we're not, which is a real shame, because I think it's
vital. I would have thought.
I think there is a huge rise in the game recently with depression. I'm talking in England as well.
Yes.
And it's very tough. It's very tough to deal with the highs. It's very tough to deal with the lows. I mean, scoring a goal, there's no greater feeling. I don't score many, so I'm trying to think the last time I scored. But there's no greater feeling, or winning a game. It's a great feeling, but losing a game or making a mistake, compounded with the abuse you may receive off fans on social media, it can be very, very tough. And if you're not mentally strong, I've seen plenty of players with fantastic ability completely fall by the wayside because mentally they can't deal with the pressures of being an athlete.
It must require tremendous resilience.
It does. It really does. And as I said, it's important to stay kind of on a level playing field. If you start getting two highs when you're doing well and then you take a huge low when you're not performing so well, you're going to be all over the place and your performance is going to suffer. So it's very important to just maintain level headed, maintain humble, and really just try and block out the sources of negativity that can cause you harm.
I'm Howard Feldman chatting to Dean Furman. We'll be back just after this.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 Chai FM. Joining me in studio is Dean Furman. And we've also got a young fan, Yoni Ref. Yoni, say good morning to everybody.
Good morning.
All right. So do you have any questions that you would like to ask him?
Yes.
What would you like to ask?
My first question is, how old were you when you began playing soccer?
So, Yoni, I was probably 4 or 5 years old. I was always kicking the ball around, and I progressed into a team probably from the age of 6 or 7. I was playing in a team, so from the age of 9 I was then at Chelsea, and really I would say I became full-time at the age of 16, which is very young to become full-time. That became my job. So
how are your parents about that? And obviously fairly supportive.
My parents have been incredible, and I'll always say I can never truly repay them for the sacrifice that they made for me to be where I am today.
Because it is a big thing, you know, to know that your kid is leaving school at a young age to follow a career maybe they won't be successful in.
Plenty aren't successful. If I'm looking at the guys alongside me at 16 who were offered a contract to become a footballer, there's probably only two of us out of 20 who have made a career out of the game.
Incredible.
So if we're looking at that, the rate of failure is significantly higher than the rate of success.
So tremendous parents. Tremendous
my parents are unbelievable, and the schlepping that they did across London to take me, not even London, bigger than London, to take me to training, to take me to matches, something that I'll never, ever be able to repay them for. And really, without the support of my parents, my grandpa, my brother and sister, it wouldn't be possible. So I think that's so important in this industry as an athlete, to have really supportive people around you. And my parents and my family have been unbelievable, even to this day, because they are the first ones to see me when I'm down and after a bad game, and they're the first ones to pick me up.
We saw them on the video at the Jewish Achievers, and it was really incredible, absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it was very special for them. Unfortunately, they're in the UK, so they weren't there at the evening. I think my sister had it on FaceTime, so they got to catch a glimpse. But for them, that they do miss out. They go and watch my brother, who is a fantastic footballer in his own right. But yeah, they are missing me over on this side of the world.
I'm sure.
But they're very proud. They're very, very proud. And they make it, they did used to watch the games via FaceTime. So they'd FaceTime my aunt, who lives here in Johannesburg, and she'd put the phone up to the TV. That's how they would watch the games.
Wow.
So if there's a way to follow the game, they will
That's
find
incredible.
That way. And, they have, as I said, their support and their love and just the way they keep me going has been amazing.
Absolutely. Yoni, do you have another question?
Yes.
All right, come close to the mic. There we go.
I watched you when you played against Egypt. How did you feel when you beat them?
That was an incredible feeling because I don't think anyone in the world expected us to beat Egypt. We were coming up against Mo Salah. We're coming up against a team who just won 3 out of 3 in their group. We kind of struggled a little bit in our group and we just got through. They were the host nation. There were 75,000 Egyptians in the stadium all cheering for Egypt. And that feeling after the game when, I don't know if you've ever heard what 75,000 people sound like, but when 75,000 people are silent, it's even more amazing.
And it was. So there really is a thing, a home advantage. It's a real thing.
Yeah, of course it's a real thing. Mm. But for me personally, I thrive on that kind of thing. I love playing in that kind of atmosphere when it's intimidating and the fans are all supporting the other team. It gives you a boost.
Uh-huh.
So I've done it before in places like the DRC with SuperSport when we played TP Mazembe, a really small, intimidating crowd with a tight ground right on the side of the pitch. And I think in those kind of games, you rise to the occasion, and that's what we did against Egypt. So at the end of the game, when we were celebrating, and sadly Mo Salah was crying, that's sport. It's someone's
as a Liverpool supporter, it was quite a conflict.
I can imagine. At least he didn't get injured, and we sent him back early for preseason.
Right,
now he's scoring goals every week,
exactly,
so maybe we
did
him a favour. But it was absolutely incredible, and to do it for South Africa was even more special.
Unbelievable. You only one more question. What do you got?
My mom didn't really want me to ask this question to you, but who was your most loyal teammate in South Africa?
My most loyal teammate? That's a very good question. It's quite amazing, like, how football works, because you become very, very close with people. And then next thing they get a move and you don't speak to them so much. And in football this week, for instance, I'm going to see my teammates more than I see my wife because we're traveling around the country. We've got 3 games and we're going to be all over the country. So you get very, very close to your teammates. So I think my closest friends at the moment are Ronwyn Williams, who's our goalkeeper at Bafana and SuperSport. We're very, very close. And Bradley Chrobler, who is on fire for SuperSport and just got player of the month. So those are my most my closest friends at the moment.
Incredible, Yoni, thank you. And Tabo, you is help assisting here on the pre-record, also has a question for you.
Yeah, Howard, these are the benefits. Adin, can you please take us through your first game for Bafana Bafana and how you were selected?
Yeah, my first game was quite a story. I got a phone call off Gordon Iggeson, who had just taken over at Bafana Bafana, and I was in England. I got a call off a strange number, and I thought, okay, let me just answer this. And it was the coach, and he said, look, we're going to Brazil next week. We'd like you to join the camp, and please come and join us. So the next thing, I was on a plane out to Brazil. I joined up with a team. I didn't know anyone. I'll always remember and be thankful to Bongani Kumalo, who was the captain at the time, and he took me under his wing unbelievably. He really helped me settle, and he was amazing, as a captain should be. He was very, very special in helping me settle down. Anyway, we had the week of training, and I thought to myself, well, either I can be quiet and nervous and go into my shell and kind of just sit on the bench and do nothing, or I can go and try and be myself and train as if I was playing for my team back in England and see what happens. Maybe I'll get 5 minutes at the end of the game if I'm lucky. And the night before the game, Coach Iggeson called me into his room and said, right, you're starting tomorrow. And it was the shock of my life, to be honest. So I don't think I slept much that night. The next day, the game, we were doing the anthems, and I was looking along the lineup and saw the Brazil team, and they had the likes of Neymar, David Luiz, Dani Alves, Hulk, all these superstars, and I had to pinch myself. I thought it was a game of FIFA. But once the whistle goes, it's pretty irrelevant to me who anyone is. It's game on, and you just got to get focused. I think I put in a nice tasty tackle on Neymar that helped me settle down. And I absolutely loved the experience. And 8 years later, I'm still involved with Bafana, which is certainly the highlight of my career.
Absolutely fantastic. Unfortunately, we do have to leave it there. Dean Furman, well done. Congratulations. Mazel tov. I think you're a phenomenal inspiration. And just keep up the amazing work that you're doing.
Thank you so much.